The BBC, according to Jeremy Vine, should change the name of its drive time show because he says it's celebrating a form of transport that kills 1,700 people a year. He says that the show needed a new name for Postcard Britain, adding that, quote, our addiction to the motor vehicle has made our city's traffic sewers, made us asthmatic, fat and angry, and made our planet suffer. Is he right, Malachy?
Well, he's right about what the car has done, but he's not right to suppose that we can imagine that we're in a post-car era. We're clearly not. The cities, certainly Belfast, around 5, 6 in the evening every day is clogged up with traffic. It's horrible. It needs to be changed. Something has to be done about it. But nothing significant has been done about it. So it is as it is. I think I would call it jam time because it's the time of the biggest
Malachy.
Sorry?
I was gonna suggest jam time.
You were gonna suggest jam time.
Yeah. Great minds think alike.
There you are. So that's my point. My point is that it's a fantasy that we've moved beyond the car. It would be highly desirable that we would have moved beyond the car. I expect that in 10 years from now, we'll still have cars, but there'll be electric cars. They'll be driven by the sat-nav, and we'll all be getting even less exercise in them because we won't even have to use the steering wheel or the pedals, and we'll be fatter and fatter. So it's not a great situation. I recommend the bike. I'm sure that's what Anne recommends. We move through the city much more smoothly, much quicker on a bicycle, and we stay fit and healthier. The only trouble is we have to breathe in the fumes from the car.
So, Anne, do you not think it's come to the time where we should stop demonising the car owner?
I don't think we have demonised the car owner at all. Certainly, Fustrans hasn't, and I don't think society generally does. I think that's what Jeremy was implying, was that you know, we have to remove, you know, he just suggested, I think it was a lighthearted suggestion, to take away the name drive time because we have got driving and the car at the centre of our culture, and we should really stop and take a look at this and realise that, as Malachy says, it is polluting our cities. It's not just at 5 o'clock, it's almost all day long. We have massive queues of traffic, and I think the bottom line is that, you know, our own travel survey, Northern Ireland's annual travel survey reveals that almost half of the journeys we make in Belfast are less than 2 miles. That is something very walkable for most of us. It's less than 50 minutes on the bike. So really, a lot of those car journeys aren't actually necessary. So I think the reason he's...
Well, chocolate isn't necessary. Tea isn't necessary. You know, if you start bringing the world down to the point where you only do what's necessary, none of us are going to smile anymore.
I think none of us are smiling when they're sitting in traffic jams, Stephen. I know certainly when I cycle to work, I feel much happier, much freer.
Do you? Even when it's pelting with rain and you're soaked?
Well, actually, 80% of the time we've done a survey on precipitation in Belfast, and most of the time it's dry, you know. So
in Belfast?
It's a perception.
You're telling me in Belfast most of the time it's dry?
We've had a very wet fortnight, but actually we've had a really dry year. And most of the time, it was actually Andrew Gray from the Department for Infrastructure did a survey which showed that over 80% of the days of the year during commuting time is dry. So most of the time when I cycle to work, and I cycle nearly 8 miles to work, and not every day, it's not possible every day for me, but most of the time I cycle, I don't get wet. And I smile a lot more than the drivers I see sitting stuck in traffic jams.
Ken Kelly's joining us this morning, the taxi driver Ken Kelly. Get your car off the road, Ken. How dare you?
Never mind that. Dear help the BBC traffic department. They're all going to be unemployed. The dependency, certainly, when I would be using the local radio giving me where the jams are, especially in the morning. Poor old your old transport section there.
Well, the first thing I was saying, I think there's something very, almost self-defeating about what Jeremy Vine is saying. Because when people are stuck in traffic jams, what are they doing? They're listening to the radio. So
let's shoot the customers. Let's get rid of the customers.
A lot of people only listen to the radio when they're in the car. So
Malachy, you're right. Wonder what the listening. Obviously, the listening audience, the drive time is a lot more substantial than between the 7 and 9 slot in the evening.
There's a clear symbiotic relationship between traffic jams and the BBC.
From a driving point of view,
each feeds the other. You know.
from a driving point of view, that certainly the Northern Ireland traffic information is fairly good now. It could be better, quicker in one thing or another, and better, more often delivered rather than just once an hour.
But Ken, when are you going to get yourself a bicycle? When are you going to discover that?
Well, I have the same problem as Mr. Nolan.
Yes.
I'm waist challenged.
Yeah.
The waist been larger than anything else. So.
But I seriously, and I'm being honest here. So I bought a bike.
No, you're not.
I am.
You're always winding up cyclists.
No, I'm not. I'm telling you now. Like, I've got the bruises to prove it, right?
And how many cobwebs is in that?
I bought a bike about a year ago, okay?
And how many times have you been on it?
There's no, well, about five, and I'll tell you why.
Okay.
There's no other way of putting it. Well, I'm going to try to put this as gently as I can. My bum was wrecked.
I find
like absolutely wrecked, and not just, and not like
that's you, because they're muscles that you haven't used that much.
No, even, but
know.
That we.
Now, if you're on a bike,
no,
often, you would use those muscles more. I have to confess, my bum was wrecked too when I first, you know, cycled longer distances.
Like I was
before long, you know, you'll have a fit, supple butt.
No,
like, you know,
no, I was walking like John Wayne. Honest, I was walking like John Wayne. And I'm not too sure. And I, Malachi, the other thing is...
Bum butter.
Well, no, it wasn't just that. Like, I'm not too sure if it's, you know, male... I'm not too sure if it's male friendly. I didn't know...
Maybe you were using the wrong saddle.
Well, I didn't know how to sit on the saddle. If you take right. what I'm... Read between the lines. I didn't know how to sit on the saddle without, you know... Making myself sterile.
Hurting yourself.
Well,
yes, like things get in the road when you're sitting in that saddle, and it was just horrendous.
Well, maybe you need to
get back to the point.
General exercise, like general walking, before you think about getting on the bike. You know,
yes.
Because I wouldn't suggest to anyone, you know, who's you know, hasn't been doing much exercise. I would say, you know, take it easy.
Awful.
You know, go out gently first of all.
No.
Do a bit of power walking. Well, and then
or jump in the car, press start and get the A and B without getting soaked and giving yourself some type of hernia.
Well, there is a reality, Stephen. There is a reality that the saddle is pressing against tender and intimate parts of the body.
That's what I'm trying to say. That's what I'm saying. Could someone help me? Hold on now, because this is a serious question, Malachi, okay?
Right.
You've just put it more eloquently than me. You see those tender parts? How do you cycle and not...
Well, there's two things. One to consider is the size of the saddle and the positioning of the saddle. Your pelvis, if you feel your own bottom on each side,
yes.
has bones which protrude further than the other, what we would call the sit bones.
Yes.
If you just feel under there and move around your fingers, you'll find the pelvic bones, the lower pelvic bones that you are sitting on most of the time. You need a saddle that will make contact with those bones at the rear part of the saddle and support them.
But need to be as wide as a forklift truck.
Well, you also have a problem in the front because you don't want a saddle that creates pressure against the urethra, for instance.
Oh, for goodness sake.
That would create discomfort later on.
Yes.
When you're having a pee, for instance.
Oh, for goodness. All the way for a cycle.
If you're sitting at a bad angle on the saddle or if you're saddle positioned in such a way that it's creating pressure against the urethra...
Stop saying that.
Or if it has made inadequate contact with the sit bones so that you're actually... creating friction against intimate parts of your body, then you're going to have discomfort from that.
Yes, now, I did.
Well, then you change the saddle, you consult somebody who can...
My car, sit down, press start, drive, and there's no pressure on my urethra, as
you
put it.
You look at road bike cyclists.
Do you actually enjoy driving in that? Do you actually find that when you're sitting in traffic that, you know...
Yes.
Do you not see people on bikes just passing you all the time, especially the closer you get into the city centre? Because I often see cars, long lineups of cars, and there's cyclists just flying by. It must be really frustrating for drivers.
I've never heard a more ridiculous...
And he pays £100,000 for a car and he sits still in it while we sail on past him.
Running your engine, you know, you're just polluting the city. You know, if more people, like yourself, Stephen, took a bike or walked for their shorter journeys, we're not saying that, you know, I drive a car, but I also walk and cycle. You know, we're just saying that for more of our journeys, you know, especially short journeys, and especially as the fact I quoted to you there, that almost half of the journeys we make in the city of Belfast are less than 2 miles. That's very walkable.
I'm regretting having this conversation.
We would have far less traffic jams. We'd have far less pollution. We'd have a healthier population. And what's not to like about that?
Alex in Londonderry, stroke Derry, stroke whatever you want to call it. Morning, Alex.
Good morning. I tell you what, I'm not paying the tax that I'm paying on my car to walk anywhere. But putting that aside, the congestion problem. In London, Manchester, Birmingham and Glasgow, they introduced, years ago, flexi hours. I don't know if that is currently operating here.
Flexi hours?
Flexi, yeah.
That's like what my team has in the BBC.
Oh, well, I knew that anyway, but that's only a few of them.
In a 10, out by 11.
Well, it helped. It didn't completely cure it, but it made a heck of a difference. And you know what London's like. I mean, Belfast is nothing in comparison. But it still eased it because you had hours. You can go in at 7, 8, 9, finish at 4, 5, 6. And instead of everybody coming out at 5, they were coming staggering it, and it made a big difference. But it may be they are operating it, I don't know.
Alex, thank you. Listen, I've really not enjoyed this conversation, Malachy, but thank you. Thank you, Anne.
Thank you. All the best.
Bye.
See you on your bike. Bye.
Good morning. Good morning. Councillor Mary Hamilton isn't happy with the Nolan Show this morning. Councillor Mary Hamilton, good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning. What can we do for you, Anne? Mary?
I was just a bit annoyed at you criticising our leader, Robin Swan.
I was not criticising him.
You were talking about his height.
Yes.
And we can't help our height.
That's the same way as somebody would talk about my belly.
Pardon?
The same way as someone would talk about my belly.
Well, maybe your belly, you can control it. But you can't control your height.
Do you not think Robin's a small man?
Robin, that's the height God bestowed on him.
Yes.
Fantastic leader, and he's a large heart of gold.
And you weren't happy with me talking about his height?
No, that could offend him. He can't help it.
Wouldn't offend him. Sure, he's always smiling.
I know he's always smiling. He's a great person and a great party leader and has great harmony with his party members.
So you're ringing in the stick up for him this morning?
Oh, of course I am. Did you ever hear good goods?
A what?
Good goods go into small bulk.
Don't be falling out with us now, Mary.
No, I won't fall out to you. Listen to you every morning. But I just don't want you criticising. That might make him feel sad this morning. He can't help his height.
Do you think he could wear... He could...
Oh, he could what?
I'm not going to say it.
No.
Thank you, Mary.
Good
morning. Jean and Lurgan. Morning, Jean.
Good morning, Stephen. How are you doing?
Good morning.
Stephen, you were on there about doing something for Christmas.
Yes.
Well, instead of going to the Blackstaff Studios...
There used to be this time when, with the Christmas show, we packed out the studio.
Yes,
but the BBC have clearly decided that was too popular.
Well, why don't you hold a Christmas night from Fantasy Island?
And bring everybody down to my house?
Yes.
Are you mad?
No. And
have you listened to the people that listen to this programme?
That's quite correct.
And you want them down to my house now?
Yes, it's because the likes of myself and others make you the biggest radio show in the country. So why don't you have a Christmas night from Fantasy Island?
Absolutely, definitely not. I couldn't think of anything worse.
Well, what you could do is that you could do a ballot for it.
Yes.
And what you could do is you could get caterers in. Or failing that, 30 buckets of KFC.
I noticed that none of you, there must be about two, I think there's been two of you, of the 100 and whatever odd thousand that listen to this programme every day, I noticed there's about two of you that have said, actually, we should have a Christmas show.
Exactly, Stephen.
None of the rest of you have been petitioning the BBC for my Christmas show to come back.
Well, isn't it better? It's the same as Noel Edmonds does, and you could do things for charity and hold it all from Fantasy Island.
No.
Oh, yes. Oh, well, you've the money to do it, as I say, Stephen. At the end of the day, put it onto the ballot, and everybody will get a choice, and you would host it and have Stephen Nolan live from Fantasy Island.
Do you think I would want you at my house?
What do you mean... Let you into my house.
Do you think I would want you or Norman and Bangor or Jan and Ballygowan anywhere near my house? Are you mad?
Because, Because we are the people that phone in to make you the biggest radio show in the country.
I am not Daniel O'Donnell.
Ach, well, come on, Stephen, now, you know, I used to do that years ago myself. And I had to put the teapot on for everybody, and I've went through more teapots than anybody. You know, Stephen, come on here, put your hand in your pocket and in the festive season.
Norman and Bangor, good morning, Norman.
Stephen, Stephen, a gentleman, right?
Morning. Are you going to have a nice Christmas?
I will indeed, Stephen, and you're down at your fantasy island, like marquee up.
How are you doing, Norman? Are you doing all right today?
Yes, doing well. And Thomas and George and Birdie and Mervyn and all the gang down.
All the founder gang. Members. Who would be? Which one of you would steal my ornaments?
Oh, I'm still waiting on my ornament 2 years. Must be over 2 years
from radio.
When he goes into your office to steal it
from Radio Face.
Yes.
There's another program. I should make a list of the programs the BBC have axed of me.
Yes, you should. Why don't you bring? People are asking me when's it coming back.
Well, sometime never.
And I've said I've asked Stephen when's it coming back. All the gang
too popular. You've got to understand, Norman, that when the programmes get popular, the BBC managers need to axe them. Do you not understand the logic?
Maybe it's not costing them anything.
What was it the late Sir Terry Wogan said about the babe? If it ain't broke, break it.
That's not broke.
Oh, dear. Sure, we're going to have a laugh. Derek and Ballybarton. Morning, Derek.
Good morning, Steve.
Good morning.
I hear you having problems with cycling.
Well, I can't sit on the seat.
Yes.
Without you, I just don't know how to sit on the seat as a man comfortably. Do you get what I'm saying?
Yes. Well,
I don't know where to. I don't know.
Do you sit on the seat in a weird way?
No, I sit on the seat, and everything gets squashed. Because there's so much. If you think about it, there's so much weight coming down.
You're doing it wrong. You're doing something wrong. Whatever way you're sitting on that saddle.
Then you go out the first time on a cycle, your whole bottom will be sore.
Wrecked.
A wreck.
Wrecked. No, wrecked. Derek, I said no. Wrecked.
Yeah. That would hurt. You'd be sore.
After a period of time.
Do you think I said
no? I don't know. That's not down there.
After a period of time. The muscles will get used to the saddle. But the best thing a lot of people does, they go and buy themselves cycling shorts.
Yes, do shorts. I have those? I was
padded
wearing
ones.
I was wearing cycling shorts.
The next thing would be go down to a good cycling shop.
Yes.
And they will measure you up for a special cycle. Seat.
Yes, that's what I need, a special seat. Derek, thank you. George in Belfast. Morning, George.
Morning, Stephen.
I was walking. When I went out on the bike, the only way I can describe it is it looked like I was constantly trying to walk around a corner in a semicircle.
Stephen, listen, the big problem is the bicycle seats are not made for the larger man.
Yeah, is so this what's...
My suggestion to you is...
Is he calling you fat?
Yes, he is.
Change the seat. Go and get yourself a John Deere tractor seat.
Or get into the bike. Or get into the car. And shove the bike into the shed.
No, put the bike on the top of the roof rack. Get off at
roof rack.
And then you can cycle down the bus lane straight into work. Smiling at everybody.
George, thank you very much indeed.